Today on this Mother's Day, I want to just add my voice to what's already been said and just a huge thank you to all of our moms and those who have played that part in somebody's life, to my own mom. Just really want to thank you for putting up with all the noise, all the chaos, all of the burdens, all of those things, but most importantly for pouring your amazing gift of love into our lives. And so moms, we honor you, we thank you. And I imagine, I won't take a poll here, but I'm guessing there's some moms here that would appreciate life slowing down maybe just a little bit, right? Maybe some peace in your life. Well, you know, I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about the speed of life, about busyness, and about prayer. And I hope and I pray that all of us can grow together as we let the Lord lead us into a deeper, beautiful relationship with Him. Would you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, just bless us, we pray. Guide us by your Holy Spirit in this moment as we gather around your word and as we talk about busyness and your gift of prayer. Allow us, Lord, to really be at your throne of grace and to experience your gifts of hope and joy and peace on a regular basis. And so, Lord, we just ask you to bless us here today, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we dive into the topic, I do need to make an admission to you. As I was preparing for today and on this topic, I have to say that there is a very large part of me that feels very hypocritical, preaching on this topic, too busy not to pray. Because the truth is, I am still wrestling with this in my own life. The tension between busyness and balance is very real for me. But as I was preparing for today, I said, well, maybe there will be some people gathered here or those online that might feel like they're in the same boat with me. Maybe for some of us here, the pace of life has sometimes left you breathless, overwhelmed, wondering how you're going to keep up. You see, the problem of busyness, I believe, is really easy to identify. The solution, though, now that's a different story. It's not instant. And again, I think that's part of the problem. We want quick fixes, don't we? We want immediate results, and ironically, that desire for instant change, that itself is a symptom of our overbusy, overstretched culture. But my friends, God's solution to this, His solution to our frantic lives, is something that is deeper and slower. And it starts with a gift, the gift of prayer. You see, in our reading that Jenny just read for us a moment ago, Jesus, He starts off by showing us, modeling for us, a different pace of life, a rhythm of slowing down, of withdrawing, of communing with the Father. And He invites us to follow Him. And when we do, we will experience His gift of love. We will experience His gift of lasting peace. But before we go further into the solution, I want to point out what I believe is one of the cultural barriers for us to slow down, a cultural barrier to prayer, a cultural barrier to experiencing God's peace. And what that barrier is I believe we have a collective aversion to slowness. I mean, think about how you use the word slow in your life. Someone driving in front of you that's driving under the speed limit, you're annoyed. If your food at the restaurant, it takes a long time to come out, it's bad service. If your Wi-Fi lags, the world's coming to an end. Or no, you're irritated. If somebody learns at a different pace than you do, what do we say? Sometimes they're slow. If you're trying to get out of the parking lot after church into the traffic backed up on 84th Street, even though Officer Kepke is doing an amazing job, it means the pastor has preached too long. But I believe in our world, the word slow is a pejorative. It's bad. You see, we worship speed and efficiency. We want things now. Microwave ovens, instant Google searches, next day delivery on Amazon Prime. And the only reason that we allow crock pots in our life is that you can set it and forget it so that you can get about the other 6 million things on your to-do list. You see, when I picture the world around us, when I picture our culture, there's an image that comes to my mind that I want to share with you. It might seem kind of strange, but I attend a lot of wedding receptions as a pastor especially. But one of the things when I think about how busy our world is that little girl out on the dance floor at a wedding reception. She has her new dress on, and she is twirling and spinning in her dress, laughing and giggling with the music. And she twirls and she twirls and she gets caught up in the moment. And the problem is she doesn't know when to stop spinning. She doesn't want to stop until she gets dizzy and then plop right on her backside. But then she giggles, she laughs it off, and she gets back up to spin again. Well, that image is us. Only the music is louder and the dance floor is more crowded, and we don't know when or how to stop spinning. We spin faster and faster as we chase success and comfort and love and validation and money and so many more things. Slowing down feels like we're falling behind, and stopping feels like we're a failure. When we do fall, we just say, get back up, shake it off, and try harder. We wear busyness like a badge, and we equate busyness with importance, with value, and success. But deep down, if you and I are honest, we know the truth. Spinning takes a toll, and the falls start to hurt. My friends, I worry about and I pray for not just you and I individually, but for us collectively. Because we are that little girl, even as a culture, spinning and spinning. How long is it going to be before we fall? You see, prosperity has given us so much in this amazing country. But prosperity demands speed. And when we let that define our identity and our pace, then the blessings turn into burdens. I believe the pace of this world is damaging us physically, emotionally, relationally, and most of all, spiritually. But as Christians, what we're good at doing is we're good at inviting Jesus to come along with us as long as he can keep up. I mean, we want him in our lives, right? But it's really only a part, not the whole. But Jesus isn't interested in just part of your life. He wants all of you. He wants your heart. He wants your calendar. He wants your relationships. He wants your time. He wants your pace. In a book that we've used excerpts from often, and I can't highly recommend it enough, by John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. You got to read the book. But John Mark Comer recalls a conversation between John Ortberg, his mentor, and Dallas Willard. And the conversation goes like this. Ortberg asks Willard, he says, what must I do to become the me that I want to be? And Willard replies, he goes, you know what? And here's the question. He goes, you know what? You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. So Ortberg scratches that down and he says, okay, well, what else? Willard says, there is nothing else. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. A little bit later in that same section of the book, he quotes the famous psychologist Carl Jung, who says this, that he says, hurry is not of the devil. Hurry is the devil. Do you agree? I do. But that means I play with the devil every day. And here's one of the things that breaks my heart is I have let busyness define me. And I'm called to be a shepherd of God's sheep, of you. And I've let busyness define me. And because I've let it define me, one of the things that I hear most often when anybody wants to come up and talk or call on the phone or make an appointment, I hear these first words out of their mouth almost every time. I know you're so busy. But the truth is, I am. But I've had to come to terms with the fact that I'm not a victim. I'm a perpetrator. Yeah, our ministry here at Messiah is big and it's beautiful and there's so many things going on. There's always something to do, but that does not exempt me from God's design for rest and reflection and prayer. My friends, I know that truth, but I still struggle to slow down, to find balance, and to experience his peace. I learned a strong work ethic from very early in life, and it didn't come with an off switch. But my friends, this is where prayer comes in. We are too busy not to pray. And if we do pray, though, again, let's be honest, what are we praying for? Are we saying, God, bless the mess? Or are we saying, God, give me the energy so I can keep up with the madness? Or am I praying for wisdom to know how to slow down? You see, prayer should reflect the design that the Father gave us to move fast. Yes, when needed, we've got to move fast, but also to rest, to walk, and to be still with God. Think about it. People don't ask you about how your run with God is. They ask you how your walk with the Lord is. I believe we were meant to be, and here's another word picture, we're meant to be scuba divers on a deep dive into the waters of God's grace, not like stones cast across the surface, barely touching down. All in all, I think busyness kills spiritual depth. It replaces rich communion with a quick shout out to God. Speed prayer becomes the norm. Instead of slowing down to truly listen and to dwell with him. So how long can we spend? You see, Jesus is inviting us to follow him. But that requires change, radical change. It means rethinking what's essential in your life. It means reevaluating your calendar. It means reimagining what success looks like. I mean, think about this, friends. Just go down this road. What if our prayer life turned from, Jesus, I need you, I'm busy, help, to something more like this. Jesus, slow me down. Help me create margin in my life. Take me by the hand and walk with me. Help me see the world through your eyes. Let peace, not pressure, define me. Amen? I mean, think about that kind of transformation. Not only would it bless you, it'd bless your family, your kids, and people around you. But if every single square on your calendar is filled and there's no room for rest, we're squeezing out the thing that we need the most, and that is Jesus. And Jesus offers us prayer. It's kind of like an antidote. It's not complicated. It's not formal. It's just real. It's crawling up into the lap of the Father, telling him about your day, like Sarah was talking to the kids today. Tell him your joys, your sorrows, your hopes, your dreams. It's just telling him anything and everything. But it's not rushing past him going, hey, God, just help me. I need you in a moment. Prayer slows us. It grounds us. It centers us in the Father's love. In fact, Luther once said, he says, prayer is climbing up into the heart of God. And that's what Jesus models for us in our text today. He steps away. He found solitude. Yes, he's busy. They even find him in the solitude and drag him back out into the public. But he knew how to take his foot off of the gas. Prayer was not optional for Jesus. It was essential. And the same is true for us. But if we're not intentional, if we don't create space, then we're going to continue to get swept away by the current of our culture. Now, I'm not trying to offer some utopian dream here. I'm not supposed to say that if you just slow down, that somehow the world is going to magically slow down around you. No, this world is broken by sin, and one of the symptoms of sin is the busyness around us. But Jesus calls us to live counterculturally at a pace of grace, at the pace of Jesus. And I believe our hearts yearn for that. Because I believe when we get frustrated, yes, we get frustrated at the busyness, but I believe it's more than being frustrated over being tired. It's frustration because we were made for more. We were made for a deeper, more beautiful relationship with the Father through our Savior Jesus, and that relationship is not nurtured by speed, but by quiet moments and long walks with God. So what if we embraced the pace of Jesus? What if instead of chasing after everything in this world, we practiced following Him through prayer, through abiding in Him, through peace? That journey began the day of your baptism when you were made new, claimed by the Father, brought into His family. Now you're invited to follow in His rhythm, a walk of discipleship, a life shaped by the presence of Jesus. And yes, the devil is going to fight you every single step of the way, but He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now I want to finish today by giving you one more image. Paint a picture, if you will, of what I believe is the blessing of prayer. It's very personal for me, but maybe you can relate to this. When I was a very young child, I remember visiting my grandparents' farm in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And one summer, the image that's just emblazoned on my mind is I got to ride in the tractor with my grandpa Cushman, my namesake, as he went out to work the fields. I remember climbing up into Grandpa's lap, my tiny hands on his as he gripped the steering wheel. I wasn't driving, I wasn't in control, but I felt safe. I felt full of joy, I felt loved, and I didn't have a care in the world. My friends, that is the picture, the invitation of prayer. The Father, He owns the tractor. He owns the fields. He is in control. He invites us to come sit in His lap as He holds us tightly and we hold on to Him and just ride with Him. We're not running beside the tractor. We're not out in front of it trying to beat it. We just get to sit in the Father's lap and feel safe to experience His joy and His love and just to be at peace. That's the invitation of prayer. We are invited to slow down as He holds us tight. We are invited to crawl up into the heart of the Father and just be. We're invited to live a life at the pace of Jesus and experience His perfect love. Amen. Amen. I have some journal questions for you, and I have to tell you, I was wrestling with making them shorter, but they are not. So you're going to have to take a picture. I was way too busy. Couldn't get them any shorter. Sorry. It's bad. But I want you to wrestle with these. I really do. Take them with you into your personal devotional life, into your life group, Bible studies, in your families. But how might God invite you to create some space for prayer in your hurried life? How might your prayers change if you see prayer as climbing up into the lap of the Father rather than checking something off your list? And what practical step can you take this week to begin walking at the pace of Jesus? Whether it's carving time out for prayer or saying no to a non-essential or simply sitting in the stillness of God. And may God grant you peace and joy as you spend time with the Father. Amen.